जयं विश्वनाथ परमहंस परिब्रह्मचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जयं निखिल प्रविष्ट विश्वनाथ परमहंस परिब्रह्मचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की आनंदकोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सवो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविंद श्याम गुंड राधा गुंडगिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Namah Shripadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhudale, Srimadi Bhaktivedanta Swamini Dinamini, Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prajarini, Nirvishesha Shunyavani Pashyatyadeshatarini. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवायां ओम पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिदां भगवदां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रंथिदां पुराण मुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतं अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्बत्वा मनसंददामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोऽस्तुते व्यासविशालबुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दायतपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्ण प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमय प्रदीप प्रपन्नवारिजाय त्वोत्रवेत्रैकवाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदोगावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दना पार्थो वत्स सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महद् वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचानूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुम् ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രഥ ജലാകാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതി കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുല ശ്വതമാ വികർണ ഘോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണ നദി കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജ സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കണം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥ സംബോധനബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പേബീയമാനം മുദ भूयात् भारत पंकज कलिमल प्रध्वंसिन श्रेयसे मोघं करोति वाचालं पंगं लंघयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्द माधवं यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्र रुद्रमरुदस्त्वन्मन्दि दिव्यैः स्तवैर्वेदैः सांगवदे क्रम उपनिषदेन गायन्दियं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थितगदेन मनसा मश्यन्दियं योगिनो यस्य अन्तं विदुसुरा सुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः सर्वत्र गोविंद नाम संकीर्तनम गोविंद गोविंद कृष्ण इज सेइंग अनिष्टम इष्टम मिश्रम च त्रिविधम कर्मणा फलम भवत्य त्यागिनां प्रेत्य न तु संन्यासिनां क्वचित सो वी वर टॉकिंग लास्ट टाइम दैट this rahasyam, this secret of karma and how the results have to be understood. We saw why Krishna chose Arjuna to receive Bhagavad Gita compared to Bhima or Yudhishthira or anybody else, right? So, Ashwatthama said this to Bhishma, that you're wasting your time. Because I was thinking, he said, that first of all you have to separate them. But it is not possible to separate them because they are one actually. Came in two different forms. And when Krishna was busy with looking after the horses, that time, Ashwatthama and others tried very hard to kill Arjuna, but they couldn't see Arjuna there. Actually, it was Krishna there with Arjuna together. And there was never separations, right? So he is saying to Bhishma, you are thinking that they are two persons. Actually, they are not. They are not two persons, right? And one side you are seeing him as a Nara, and the other side you are seeing him as Narayana. Therefore, that is the reason that in Mahabharatam and Bhagavatam, when they begin, Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Jaiva Narottamam, actually it is one truth in two forms has come. Nara is Arjuna here, but and Arjuna is not a person who doesn't have any intelligence. He is a very intelligent person, right? And that is the reason why Krishna has chosen him to give Bhagavad Gita. What is the essence of all these things? This is all in the Mahabharatam, not in the Bhagavatam. From Mahabharatam Katha it is, right? So, the point is that there is no other substitute to knowledge. Knowledge is knowledge. You cannot substitute with anything else, right? And without that knowledge, there won't be shanti, samadhanam inside, right? Even if you have done big, big things in this world, doesn't mean that shanti will come from that. Krishna is talking about shanti all the time, is it not? In the Bhagavad Gita, everywhere you see this word shanti, because that is what the pure nature of the soul is, in a shanti state, not to be in a distressed or disturbed state. So, that's the point. And this same thing, shanti, you will see in the 12th chapter also in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about that. Shrayohi jnanam abhyasal, jnanal dhyanam visheshade, dhyanal karma phalatyagam, tyagam shanti anandaram. So the end result is tyagal shanti anandaram. At the end, the shanti has to come. Shrayohi jnanam abhyasal, jnanal dhyanam visheshade, dhyanal karma phalatyagam, tyagal shanti anandaram. So shanti is the goal. Everywhere, shanti is the goal. So that shanti state is what he is saying here. How does that understanding come? That when you realize that the whole creation is run and managed by that power, Krishna, who is managing everything, and he makes decisions, he changes upside down, whichever way he wants it, right? And sometimes he may decide to overhaul the whole thing, whichever way he likes it, right? And it may end up that we may not have any peace here, shanti here. So, but therefore, ashesha karma varityagam means that we are not, basically what it means is, we are not doing anything. Krishna is doing everything, right? In simple terms, if you say, in Bhagavatam also the same principle comes, the same knowledge, what is spoken in the Jnanamargam, the same thing comes in the Bhagavatam also. There it is spoken in a different way. Just like a puppeteer plays with the puppets, we are being played by that higher power. And ishasihi vasheloko yosha dharumai yatha. This is the statement from Sri Narada Maharshi to Dhritarashtra before he left, right? So, we are practically toys in Krishna's hands, and there is not a lot of independence here. We can see that if you look at the world all the time, everyone is helpless. Which way things are going to happen, nobody knows. And these leaders talking all kinds of things, whatever they feel, they are also helpless. They also don't know. But everyone try to assert themselves that they are the ones who are going to make the decisions and they will change the world. Nobody can change the world. It is controlled by that higher power. So when you realize that, then what is the next understanding is that I am not the doer, I am not the enjoyer either, right? And if this realization comes, you have become free. Everything, right? Jivan Muktattva. So when kartrutvam comes, when you start thinking I am the doer in everything, that is when you get bound. You are bound by that, right? Similarly, when bhoktrutvam comes, I am the enjoyer, it is a result of that, again you are bound by that. So kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam, when you think that you are doing everything, you are running the show, then kartrutvam comes. Similarly, when you think that the results must come according to your plan, then bhoktrutvam comes. So this both kartrutva, bhoktrutvam is samsara, material existence, right? So that is what we are talking about it here. How do we become free from that? When you realize that whichever way Krishna is taking us, go along with that. That's all option you can do. And you are not making any decisions and you are not identifying with the results. And you are not taking responsibility for the decision making. Just as a tool in Krishna's hands, right? And Bhagavatam has given that example. If you pull out a grass and put it into the river, that grass will flow along with the flow of the water. We have to be like that in life, to become like that, right? That means without that kartatvam and doership. Ashtavakra Maharshi says, kartrutva dukkham, he says. The dukkham that comes from kartrutvam, right? One who does live like that in this world, completely independent of all that, he is akarmi. That means, he is not doing any karmam there. And kartrutvam, how will that go? That is what method Akshata Maharshi is saying there, that you have to have this knowledge inside that Krishna is doing everything. That awareness all the time inside that Krishna is managing. I am not managing this world. Right? Oh, so therefore this I am the karta, I am the bhokta has to go from inside. I am doing this and I am experiencing the result. This mindset is called ahangaram, ego, right? And so this understanding this, how ahangaram works in a person, the I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, and the results must come. Who is asking all these things? The ahangaram is demanding. Alma is not asking any of these things. It is from ahangaram these thoughts are coming, that I am doing this, I have to get these results. It is all the work of the ahangaram inside, right? So with a, in Jnana Margam, what they do with their refined intelligence, purified intelligence, they keep inquiring about this, who has got this ahangaram, where is this ahangaram coming from? And then they realize that this is an unusual power that comes from the Andaryami's reflection in the subtle body. We know that what ahangaram is, isn't it? So, and that reflection in the ahangaram, manasa buddhi ahangaram chittam, jiva is suffering because of this. And it is because of that ahangaram that we are all finding difficulties in life. The suffering is due to that. Yeah, and also, Maya is nothing but this ahangaram. Maya in us is in the form of ahangaram. Maya inside us is in the form of ahangaram. Right? You will see this in the Lalita Sahasranam also. There is a verse which refers to this. That ahangaram durga samam talks about that, right? So, somewhere this ahankaram has come inside us, and it's not going now, and if you ask a question, does it exist? Reality, it doesn't exist, because it doesn't have a place anywhere, although its swarupam is like this, its nature is like this, right? And once it leaves us, ahankaram leaves us, right? You will realize that within our own body, how you have become free from the body identification. What is ahankaram? You remember in the fifth canto we discussed this, that ahankaram is a part of subtle body. Yeah. And antaryami and the body, they are connected through Sankarshanamurti called ahankaram. This is in the last chapter of the fifth canto. If you look carefully, remember all that, right? So what is ahankaram then? Ahankaram is that power that is linking Maya. Maya is this body and other things with the antaryami. Antaryami is Atma, which is totally independent, which doesn't have any problems, which is pure, Satta Chitta Ananda. The other one is material elements, tanmatras, body, mind, intelligence, all these things combined together, Ashtada Prakriti, as it's called, from Maya. How are these things two connected? Through ahankaram. Ahankaram is the link between the two. Yeah. So, so it is difficult to understand that power, because that's what is addressed as Sankarshanamurti. In a personal form, we address it as Sankarshana all the time, right? So, and it is that power that is coming, ahankaram, but actually everything is carried out by the will of Krishna. Krishna's power is working everywhere, right? If we are able to recognize this, that Krishna is doing everything, and our ahankaram should not get involved in that, and if we are able to stay in that state, then he is not bound. He won't be bound then. But instead, if we start thinking, I am doing everything, and we take all the responsibility on our shoulders, then you will be bound. You will be bound, right? That's what is spoken here. As long as we have bodily identification, it is impossible to give up karma completely. As long as we have bodily identification, it is impossible to give up karma completely, right? That is what Krishna mentioned there. Nahi deha brudha shakyam, in the verse 11, first line. Nahi deha brudha shakyam tyaktam karmani asheshata, he says. Asheshata means completely. Completely to give up karma when you are identifying with the body is impossible. Nahi, that means with bodily identification, to become free from karma is not possible. Nahi deha brudha shakyam tektum karmani asheshada. Totally to give up karma is not possible when you have a bodily identification, right? But that means as long as you keep a body and you are identifying with that, it is not possible, right? So, embodied person, one who is embodied, cannot attain that state, which is absolute freedom, total freedom. What we are looking for is total freedom from this bondage, right? So, freedom from all actions. So, how to be free? Only way is to know that embodiment is not real. That's the only way you can become free from bodily identity, by knowing that this embodiment itself is not real. You have to think about these things a little bit to understand it properly. That Krishna is saying, Nahi deha brudha shakyam tektu karmani asheshada. It is impossible, as long as you have bodily identification, to become free from karma. Then how to become karma? Only way to know that is embodiment is not real. Yeah? And there is no embodiment in the real self.
Antaryami is not bound, but this avidya inside us has put us in this situation. Avidya from Maya. You remember yesterday we were talking about, or this people I know, she is saying the same thing, that avidya comes to us and makes us feel that we are this body. And Satyam Rajastamayidi Srividega Mahadav, he talks about that in that verse, right? So, in our Atma Swarup, that means when you realize the self, what actually happens is that there is no body in that. When our consciousness gets shifted to the Antaryami, when we get our real spiritual identity, there is no body in that. Body is only when you are identifying with the Ahangaram. So, and this you can see in the Sushupti, that there is no body. You can live without the body in the Sushupti like we do, right? You don't see the body there. Body is not there, mind is not there, intelligence is not there, and Ahangaram also not there. So without all these things, we can exist in the state of Antaryami. Right? But my existence is there. I'm not finished with that. My awareness is still there, that I do exist in the Sushupti. So this Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti keeps coming back again and again in Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Bhagavatam in different ways. It's analyzed all the time. Because this is the best method to understand the knowledge of Krishna talking about self-realization. This Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti. From all angles, if you look at it, you will get to understand that the Sushupti is a very strong pointer to tell us what is self-realized state is. The Rishis took on that very strongly. And their complaint is, the Rishis, when we talk about the modern science doesn't even take these three states seriously. Their study is all based on the vacant state. Everything what the science does is based on the vacant state, isn't it? Sense perception, vacant state. And in that they want to know the truth. No, Vedantam is saying, no, you cannot find the truth like that. You have to take into account all the three states, what you are going through. And these three states and the three modes of nature, along with that. Its effect on the three states. And that is how you study the whole individual, completely, all the time. Not take one aspect. Vacant state is only a few hours in a 24 hours. So, when we lose all these things, when we lose the body, when we lose the mind, intelligence, and similarly when you lose the Ahangaram also, in the deep sleep state, in the Sushupti, right? The existence is still there. I am still there. I am not gone. Where is that coming from? Antaryami. Because Antaryami is there. That is our identity, right? And if you accepted that, then sometimes it says, how do you, people ask this question, how to control this mind? Because mind is the one which comes and changes everything in all these things, right? Suppose you have accepted this, right? Very next moment mind will come and say, why did you accept that? And then you will go with the mind after. And then the whole thing changes. And every day this is happening. We are reading this and the next moment mind comes and says something and we go with the mind along with that, right? So, one day when they ask this, because people who have gone beyond the mind, only they can answer this question. They have understood the mind, how it comes and interferes in everything. So when they asked Ravana Maharshi also, he said the same thing. He said to them, when you realize yourself, then you will understand what your mind is doing to you, he said. That's what he said. When you realize yourself, then you will know what your mind is doing to you and you will understand him well, right? At that time you realize that there is no such thing called mind. Then what is the necessity to control the mind, he said. Actually mind doesn't exist, but it is that Maya's power of how she traps everyone in one way or the other. So in spiritual life you have only one option left. To accept what Krishna says as it is. without accepting anything from the mind. Mind will give you so many ideas about various things. So it is for this purpose that if they have accepted this completely, then there is no confusion. But mind won't allow you to accept that. It is for this purpose, Vedanta Vicharam. Vedantam is telling you to constantly do the reflection on this, right? So, Atma Tattvajnanam. When Tattvajnanam comes, you get established in the Surupam, and then you realize that there is no such thing called mind. There is no such thing called mind. Yeah. So, if you recognize the mind, then problem comes. So, then you will have to go along with that. That is one plane, this is another plane. So Krishna is saying here, one who is in this world with bodily identification, he is called a Dehabrat, and he won't be able to give up this samsaram completely. Because the suffering that comes from this samsaram, there is no complete freedom from that. There's no complete freedom from that, right? So what should he do? What should he do? He says, start karma bhalatyagam first. Karma bhalatyagam, that's where you begin, right? Whatever bhalam comes from the karma, little by little, gave it up. Karma tyagam, bhalatyagam, right? To Krishna. If it's not possible to give up the everything, little by little you do that, right? And in Krishna said that as bhakti in the 12th chapter, this karma bhalatyagam. He calls it as bhakti. Bhakti means what he's saying there in the 12th chapter is, if you cannot give up the whole results of your karma, as much as possible, give it back. Give it away, which has come from karma. This is a bhakti sadhana it is. It's a bhakti sadhana. So, with a lot of struggle, you are acquiring things in this world. Yeah? And in some or the other, a part of that result, let it go back to Krishna. In some form or the other, let it go back to Krishna. Right? Because why? He is the soul of everyone. Vishwalma is that. Right? So, all for the benefit of this world. Benefit of this world. And that is the way to do that. Yeah? So, you will see at the Vajagovindam prayers also. Deyam dina vinayaja vittam. Give back the wealth to others and become free. Right? Now, to understand here is, this is not social service. That's the first thing. You see, a lot of people are giving a lot of things like our Bill Gates and Clinton Foundation and all, doing a lot of social service in the world. This is not that. Yeah? Social service means all these foundations, what they have, Blair Foundation and the Clinton Foundation and Bill Gates Foundation. Warren Buffett's foundation, and in big Indian wealthy Indian businessmen are also doing it now. They've also got their foundations, yeah, Mitchells and all Ambani, all of them do that, right? So that is social service, right? That means they want recognition that they have given in charity to the world, so much of their wealth, what they have earned, and society recognizes them, right? And when they give the money to foundations like that, there is a lot of tax exemptions and support from the government. Various ways. This is a very network. It works like that. Right? And tax benefit and profit and all that. They are all worldly benefit. Right? Similarly, you will get recognition in the world also. Like they have invested a lot of money for this research on AIDS research in Africa. as though the only Africans are suffering in the world. They are not suffering. They are suffering more than the Africans, actually. But the way they tune up the whole thing is that we are helping them to come out of their poverty and all. They are happy in their own life. We have gone and made their life miserable. And then we are trying to help them and to get them out of their trouble. So all this kind of maya, this has nothing to do with self-realization. Yeah. So thing is that if you do a lot of things like that, social service, that's called social service, right? And you will get a title and recognition in the world. You will get Padma Shri, Padma Bhushanam, Padma Vibhushanam, and all kinds of titles the government gives, right? And some people, they make it fun, Padma Vibhushan and Kumbhakarna and all, they call it like that, in this way. But so all those, that's all social service it is, right? So they are all material benefit in this world. But here what Krishna is talking about, the tyagam in karmam is exclusively a spiritual practice it is. Here in Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna is talking about is a sadhana process, not for the sake of recognition in the world or for the sake of any name and fame and things like that, to get the titles or anything. So there is a difference, I'm saying. The social service done by these big foundations and spiritual sadhana Krishna is talking about is completely different. They are done with two different sankalpa. Other one is done with worldly recognition and to show to the world that, because wealthy industrialists know that they have made this money from others with their various means, right? And they want to impress the world that, look, we are not making any money, we are giving everything to the world. So one who has got 20 billion pounds, for him to give 25 million is not very difficult for him to do that, is it not? So the world, the ordinary people who does not know any of these things properly, they will read the newspaper and they will think that, oh, they have done so much for the world. And they have given so much money to this world, so they won't curse them so much, as otherwise they would have cursed them. If somebody is only making money all the time, not giving anything, everybody will curse him. So these businessmen, what they do is, they don't want to get cursed by the whole world, so they give a major chunk like this, and want the recognition of the world, they are very charitable people and all that. That is social service. Here what Krishna is talking about is not that. What Krishna is saying here is that karma valatyagam as a sadhana, you are doing it as a sadhana, and that not depend on how much money have you got. That's not what it depends on, right? So the one is material thing. What they are doing is a material thing, right? Whereas karma valatyagam, what Krishna is talking about, is exclusively a spiritual practice. And purely as a adhyalpa sadhana. And adhyalpa sadhana, Krishna has talked about as karma valatyagam in the 12th chapter. Shreyohi jnanam abhyasal, jnanal dhyanam vishishyare. Dhyanal karma valatyagam. That karma valatyagam is a sadhana, it is. It's a sadhana, right? It's saying that initially you have given tyagam, you are giving up the, I don't want any karma phalam. Ultimately you are handing over everything to the world, you are not possessing anything, right? Suppose you have given up everything, then there is nothing left. Then how will you do any dhanam? So it is for that purpose sannyasam. Sannyasam is that stage. These are the things what we should teach the people. Not telling them that what I did in this world and how I dressed and what my name is and that is not sannyasam. Sannyasam is realizing this first, this knowledge, what Krishna has spoken about sannyasam here, and make others also to understand that Vivekananda said this in another way. You know, what he said was, why are you wearing this saffron? Somebody asked him, right? He said, the only reason is that nobody will ask from me for money. Nobody will ask me because they know I am a beggar there. So for that purpose I am wearing this, he said. To make others know that I am a beggar. I don't have any possessions. Right? I am myself a beggar. Then nobody will come and ask me for bhiksha. So that is the only benefit from this, he said. There is nothing else than that. To tell the world, I don't possess anything. So nobody don't need to come and ask me for anything. I don't possess anything. I don't have anything to give it to anybody. I have reached that state, in other words. So, Bhishma says this in Mahabharata in another way. What he said was that if our clothes get dirty, then you have to wash it with the soap and clean the clothes, right? Similarly, when a lot of wealth comes to us, it has to be washed out because it is a mud that has come, right? And the way to get rid of that wealth is through charity. Suppose you don't have anything, then you are not expected to give anything. You are not bound by that. You are not, Badhyada is not there. That means you are not obliged to give if you don't have anything. You are not obliged to give, right? So, Yajnartham is saying here that, Yajnartham viteha, Yajnartham yasya viteha, param tasya nirihada. What you have got in your hand, with that you give what you have got, right? Perform the yajnam. And whatever you have got with that, you do that, right? If you don't have anything, then best thing is not to create any desire inside and remain like that, right? Actually, we are free. Antaryami is free. Antaryami doesn't have any connection with any of these things, right? So, before the cloth gets dirty, better than that, to avoid the cloth getting dirty, right? Rather than it getting dirty and then washing it away. So charity is like that. Wealth has come, that means you have become dirty, and now you have to wash it away by giving in charity. Instead of that, if you don't acquire much wealth, that is a better solution than that. If you don't possess much in this world. But what happens then? Due to prarabdham, wealth will come. In some form, from totally unexpected ways, wealth comes to people. They would have never thought about it. They would have worked a whole life, they wouldn't have made any money. But from some other source, money will come, totally unexpected way. So, so that is what he is saying here. Before it gets dirty, don't allow it to get dirty. If it gets dirty, then you have to wash it away. But best thing is not to get dirty. That means not to accumulate wealth a lot. Right? So, and that is what he is talking about, karma phala tyagam, Krishna is talking about. Right? There is a story in one of the Puranams, it says, I think it's in the Periyapuranam, what it says is, there is a potter. He was making these pots every day with the clay. He made pots, right? So every day he make a lot of pots. But what he used to do was, the first pot he made every day, he gave it to some sannyasi for him as a begging pot, begging bowl, you can say, right? And only after that he will sell the other pots. And he has determined to do this throughout life. Every day he was making pots, but the first pot he made, he will give it in charity to some sannyasi or a beggar or somebody who can use it, right? So seeing this, his nature affected by that, Lord Shiva himself came to him as a beggar and asked for a pot, right? So you can see that when he did with his own limited level capacity what he did, that Shiva himself felt that it is worthwhile taking bhiksha from him and ask for a pot from him, right? So, and Sundaramurti Nayana talks about this, that about this he wrote songs saying that he was moved, Lord Shiva was moved by seeing his heart, that simple faith in things like this, that even though he is not doing many big things in this world, very simple thing he is doing, making these clay pots and selling them. Even there, even he had that realization that he is not doing it. Krishna is doing it through him, and he was willing to share. He did not want to take the results. He wanted to hand over the results to Krishna first. To such an extent that understanding inside, which you have to appreciate in his state, right? So, so therefore, Shiva himself comes and asks him for the pot, right? And he, even though it's a small sacrifice, but he did what he could do in his position, right? On the other hand, someone who is a billionaire, he gives a 100 rupee note to somebody and it won't even affect him in any way. He won't be affected by that, right? It is a good thing, but it is not affecting him. It is not affecting him, right? So, there was one sannyasi from Swaminarayan group. It is in the YouTube. He was saying like this. I thought he has put it in the right way. What he said was, right, when do you know that you have done a charity properly? If you are affected by that charity. Suppose you have done some charity, and if that charity has affected your life in this world, then you know that you have performed a charity. It should affect your own wealth, in other words, right? Only then, he said, it is spiritual. Whereas, if you have a lot of money, and if you have given a few £100 or something in charity, that is not affecting you so much. It's not affecting your personal financial situation, right? That's not considered very much a charity. It's proper charity when it is actually affecting your own material situations, right? Otherwise, it is like, when you are walking on the street, you just felt hungry and you bought one chocolate temporarily to get rid of the hunger in the same way. So, because it is not touching your ego. It's not touching your ego, right? And ego is the result of all these things. Buddha mentions this, right? Buddha is saying that Buddha, after enlightenment, he was sitting underneath the tree. A lot of people were coming to see him, to see Buddha, and to hear from him, to take instructions from him. So, an ordinary worker who is not earning much money, a simple person, right? He came there and he is wandering around looking if he can get some work to do somewhere. So when he came, he had a soiled cloth, a dirty cloth on his shoulder, and he came there. And when he saw Buddha sitting underneath this tree, under the Bodhi tree, right? A lot of people were coming to see him, and including the king has come to see him. Buddha became so popular, right? So, in the middle of all that, this poor man has also walked in, right? When he saw Buddha sitting there with an effulgent face and a lot of people offering things to him, he also enjoyed looking at this when everybody is doing that, right? He doesn't know Buddha and realization and all that. He hasn't got a clue about anything, right? And all he knows is that temporary life is temporary. As long as I'm living in this world, I have to manage my life. And he does not know the philosophical side of life. He has not thought about all that in his life. He didn't have time for all that, right? But when he saw Buddha sitting there and his presence and everyone offering respects to him, he liked it, seeing Buddha, right? When he looked at that, he saw that they were all accepting Buddha more like a sannyasi, right? And he doesn't have anything to give to Buddha. So he stood there and everybody was giving different gifts, bringing clothes and other fruits and various types of things and giving it to him, right? They were putting it in front of Buddha, offering their respects to him and coming back, right? This man has got only this dirty cloth on his shoulder, right? And it is quite cold as well at that time. So Buddha looked at him and he asked him, "Give me that cloth," he said. When others were giving all these things, Buddha told him, "You give me that cloth," he said, right? So, and next, not far from him, Prasenajit, the king at that time, he was also standing there. So, person who has this soiled cloth, he did not know what to say to Buddha. Buddha asked for that cloth, right? So he looked at the king, thinking that maybe king can give something better than me giving this dirty cloth, right? And the king and his entourage who had come with him, they have got a lot of other things as well they brought to give it to him, right? So, when he looked at the king, king understood why he is looking. He does not want to give this dirty cloth. Instead, if king can help, he can give something better in that way. So what did the king do? King told this man, "Bring some nice clothes and give it to him," he said. Right? So they brought that and they gave one to this poor man. Right? this was all going on, this poor man was looking at Buddha. What is Buddha thinking about what we are doing here, right? So he took the cloth from the king. King brought the clothes and gave one to him. And he took the cloths and he gave it to Buddha, that nice cloth which the king has brought, right? But prior to that, Buddha asked this question, "Why are you not giving me that cloth?" He asked him. So because of the pressure from Buddha, he took that dirty cloth and gave it to him first. And then this new cloth came, he took one of them and given it to him, straight to Buddha. Right? So initially he gave the dirty cloth and then he gave the fresh cloth, what the king has brought. Right? And at that time, the king got involved. King said that's a dirty cloth, don't take it. Here's another fresh one. And he gave another one to Buddha from his side. So, in this way, the king and this poor man, they brought a lot of clothes and they gave everything one after the other to Buddha as a charity to him, right? So at that time, Buddha took that dirty cloth and put it on his shoulder. And he told them that this is charity, he said. This is charity. In the words that this man, when he was giving the dirty cloth or when he was giving the clean cloth, the fresh cloth, right? Neither time he didn't think about the quality of the cloth or anything. Instead, he developed bhakti towards Buddha. He was feeling bhakti towards Buddha and he wanted to give everything to him, irrespective of what he had. So Buddha is saying, this is bhakti. This is bhakti, right? So when bhakti comes, you don't think about it is good or bad, rich or poor. That mind goes away. You just want to give to him, right? And keeping a lot with yourself and not getting affected by that, that is not the sampradaya, right? If you give like that, a lot of spiritual benefit will come from that. That's the principle, right? Right? It is difficult to explain this more because we have to go through that experience to know that, right? There are so many stories about this charity business, how that, what pleases Krishna. That's why that verse in the Bhagavatam also, yadidishtaramam loge, yachadi priyamalpana, tattan nivedayan mahyam, tada anandaya kalpade. Krishna is saying that what you like, you give it to him. Don't hold back. What you like, you give it to him. Then it won't. The result will be tada anandaya kalpade, he is saying. There is a saying that when you go to see great personalities, you should carry something with you. When you go to see the king, when you go to the temple, you should go something with fruits or something in the hand as a upaharam or a gift to Krishna, right? That is in one level. You should not go empty-handed. There is a saying like that. And people generally follow that, they do that way. But higher than that is karma phalatyagam. Which means that then the result of your own karma, which is coming back to you, if it can be used for some good cause, and if it is done with the motive of pleasing Krishna. This verse is important in the Bhagavatam, right? The one I have mentioned now. Yadidishtaramam loge. What you have is not important, but how you give it is important. Yadidishtaramam loge yachadi priyamatmana tatta nivedayan mahim tada anandaya kalpade. Right? So, in that, whatever you have, what you like the most, give that to him. And without any expectation from that, Krishna should be happy with that. If it is done like that, a lot of benefit will come from that. Krishna is saying that, right? What is that benefit? Chitta Shuddhi. Chitta Shuddhi is the benefit from that. Yeah? Chitta Shuddhi's symptom, how do you know one has Chitta Shuddhi, right? Is that you will become very serious in spiritual life. That is a symptom of Chitta Shuddhi. The one does not become serious in spiritual life is only because the Chitta Shuddhi is not there. That's the only reason, nothing else. Then you will say blame Prarabdham and other things. That's another side. But the reason you are not becoming serious in spiritual life is due to lack of Chitta Shuddhi. Chitta Shuddhi, right? So, this karma phala tyagam helps to develop chitta shuddhi. That's a science of the spiritual life. You mentioned before in Bhagavata Dharma. Now, these are all not completely Vaidigam. Vaidigam principles have taken Krishna. Krishna has taken that and put that into Bhagavata Dharma. The principles are the same. In Yajnam, Yagam, Homam, in the Karmakandam is all based on this understanding only. The same understanding. But when it comes to the modern life, when there is no Varnashram Dharmam, there is no Yajnam, there is no Yagam, and there is no proper Vaidigam way of life, Krishna gave us this Bhagavata Dharmam. And in Bhagavata Dharmam, it is Karma Bharatyagam first, isn't it? Sharanagadi and Samarpana Buddhi. Samarpana Buddhi is this karma phala tyagam. Comes from that. And then he said that karma phala tyagam, and there are in the great personalities' life, in their history, you will find a lot of incidents like in stories like this, right? Karma phala tyagam, tyagi itya vidhiyate, he said. Yastu karma phala tyagi sa tyagi itya vidhiyate. In the 11th verse, he is saying that. Nahi deha brada shakyam tektam karmani asheshada yastu karma phalatyagi sa tyagi tyavidiyade. Such a karma phalatyagi is real tyagi. He is saying there, right? So, and then Krishna said that karmam has got these three different results. Which one? Ishtam, anishtam, mishram. Three things he has spoken. Right. And all these three things does not apply to sannyasis. Because for sannyasi, karmam is not even real for him. Right. And therefore it doesn't apply to sannyasi. Right. Sannyasi, when he is talking about, he says jnani, or as a realized person, in other words. Right. So, after saying this, karmam in Vedantam is not action as such. It's not action, right? The way karmam is analyzed in Vedantam, normally when you say to somebody karmam, immediately what it means is action, isn't it? Action. That is karma. But in Vedantam it is not like that. What they will say is that avidya, kamam, karmam, karma vasana. That's how karmam is seen in the Vedantam. Right? Ignorance, desire, action, and the results of the action, vasanas, right? And it is, I am doing that, it is from that karmam comes. And when you give up that, I am the doer, that is what karmatyagam means. Karmatyagam means that you are not the doer anymore. Once that has left from inside, not just saying, but inside that thought should not come. Instead, if you just give up the karmam externally, it's not good enough, right? That abhimanam, that identification has to go. That is a secret, right? So that is why in the next verse, what Krishna is doing is the swabhavam of karmam. You see, karmam, you know what happens is, karmam is a very interesting word, isn't it? Because it's an international word now, karma. He got instant karma, they say. If you look into YouTube and Facebook, Karen got instant karma, they say. And, you know, so their understanding of karma is like that. Everybody has accepted there is something to do with karma. So, but this, what this karma is, there is not much understanding in people's life. They don't really understand what karma means, right? They just say, karma means I've done something, I got something in return. That's how they see it, is it not? So here, Krishna is talking about that karma, you can say, has left a person only when this kartrutvam has gone from him. Otherwise, karma has not left. Karma is still there in him, right? And that is the secret of this. The secret of karma is this, that someone can say karma has gone only when I am the doer has gone from him. Then karma has left him. So, and therefore Krishna is now going to talk about in the next verse the nature of karma. How does that happen? Right? So, that is what he is going to say here. Panjaidani Mahabaho Karanani Nibodhame Sankhe Kritande Proktani Siddhaye Sarvakarmana. That is Krishna's words on that. He says, Panjaidani Mahabaho Karanani Nibodhame Sankhe Kritande Proktani Siddhaye Sarvakarmana. Krishna says to Arjuna that a person does a karma, and there are five reasons behind that. And he says to Arjuna, listen to me, what I'm going to say, he said. Why Krishna put it like that is to make Arjuna more focused to his attention, seriously to what he's going to say, right? And also the difficulty in explaining these things. And it is important to know the reasons. And in order to make Arjuna aware of all that, he has told in this way, right? That Mahabaho Karanani Nirvartakani Nibodhame Mama Iti. Panjaidani Mahabaho Karanani Nibodhame Sanghe Kadande Proktani Siddhaye Sarvakarmanam. So, Sankhyam and Vedantam, there is not a big difference. Sankhyam and Vedantam. Sankhyam is very close to Vedantam, except in the highest level, Prakriti and Purusha comes in Sankhyam, whereas in Vedantam, only consciousness, Purusha alone exists. That's the only difference. Otherwise, all other things are same what is in the Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter. You see, second chapter, actual title of the second chapter, if you look into the old Bhagavad Gita, it is Sankhya-yoga. Second chapter is Sankhya-yoga. Prabhupada translated that into contents of Gita, summarized like that. But its actual name is Sankhya-yoga, which is nothing but Vedanta. It is. Right? So, all karma, if it has to get completed, right, there are five reasons behind that. Both in the Sankhyam as well as in the Vedantam, it is accepted that way, right? Sankhya kritande proktani, Krishna is saying. You see, Krishna used the word Sankhyam there. It's all about Vedantam it is. But Sankhya kritande proktani. Sankhyam is referring to Vedantam basically here. Krishna gave a name Sankhyam to Vedantam in the verse, in this verse, right? Kritandam, he also said, Sankhya Kritandam is Vedantam. Sankhyam and Vedantam, they are both same, right? Vedantam. Another very name of Vedantam is Kritandam, end of knowledge, right? So, or in other words, you can say, the culmination of knowledge, Or you can say completion of action, right? Or in other words, action reaches fulfillment of everything, right? And person also who is doing the action reaches fulfillment. Fulfillment comes from that, right? That means his life finds fulfillment or perfection of his knowledge or perfection of his karma or karma finishes there. That means, when you have realized the self, your karma is complete. After that you have no karma. When you have realized the self, till then karma is a part of you. It cannot be taken out from you, right? So, if self-realization happens, your karma is complete, right? So, in both Shastram, Sankhyam and Vedantam, right, in both of them, Atmajnane samjnane sarva karmanam nivrtihi. It says, Ajari Swami also says that here, and he has quoted from Bhagavad Gita itself extensively. He is saying here that Sankhya Yadavya Padartha Sankhya Yande Yasmin Shastra Etat Sankhyam Vedandaha Kritande Idi Tasya Eva Visheshanam Kritam Idi Karma Uchare Tasya Andakritya Parisamapti Karma Idiyan. Yavanartha Udapani, in the second chapter, 46 verse, that verse, also referring to the same. And then he said in the fourth chapter, verse 33, Sarvam Karmahilam Partha Jnani Parisamapyade, that verse. Both verses, if you like, Krishna is talking about the same thing. Sarvam Karmahilam Partha, that verse is very strong. Sarvam Karmahilam Partha Jnani Parisamapyade. All karma is finished when you have realized the self. Yane parisamapyade, when you have realized the self, right? So, so that's what he is saying here. Idi alpa jnane samjade sarva karmanam nivrtim darshayati. This is the bhashya on that. Yeah? Alpa jnane samjade, once a self-realization has happened, sarva karmanam nivrti darshayati. You become free from all karma. Till then karma is there. So when Alpajnanam comes, this kartrutam goes away completely. And you have become free from karma. That is the principle, right? And ada tasmin alpajnanarthe sanghi kritande vedane proktani kathidani siddhe nishpatyartham sarva karmanam kanidani yuchare. So first Krishna introduces like this about karma. Karma and self-realization, the connection between the two. When you study Bhagavad Gita, you will notice one thing. Krishna is not talking about a lot about a realization after death. Everything very much to be done here, right now. And if you can make it here, then your spiritual life is success. If you didn't make it, come back again and continue with it, where we have left. That's all you can do, nothing more than that. So, what he is saying is that, but the science is there. How does it all work? And that's what he is explaining here. Sankhya kadamde prakthani sudeya sarvakarmanam. So, when alpanyanam or self-realization happens, sarvakarmanam nivrtivi, you have become free from karma. So, you can see in Vedantam, karma is understood in a different way. Not like the way ordinary people will talk about karma, right? Ordinary people will talk about karma simply as, for them karma is nothing but an action, that's all. Only the action they understand. Karma for them is action. Is it not? That's why they say you got instant karma, they say. When you see that, you know, you see that, don't you, all the time. People say, he got instant karma, he says. And that is, some of the funny things they show to teach you how to teach you about karma. They are showing all that, that you get instant karma. Suppose you offended somebody. Devotees also say that. I offended my Guru Maharaj or my this sannyasi, and I got instant karma, he says. So that's what he has picked it up from that, from the channels and all that, media, he has picked it up. He has not understood what karma Krishna is talking about here. Krishna is saying in a different way altogether. Yeah? So let's understand what Krishna is saying. when self-realization happens, right, this kartha-bhokta goes from him. Kartava-bhoktava goes from him. You see how karma is in us, how it's working, right? It comes first as kartava-bhoktava. I'm the doer, I'm the enjoyer. That is very much inside us, right? Then what else it does? After effect of this kartava-bhokta is raga-dvesham. Is it not? Raga-dvesham comes from kartava-bhokta only. Because when you do some karma, and if it has gone very well, you are pleased by that, you get attached to that karma because you have done it well. So ragam comes there. And if it didn't go very well, you get upset about it, and dvesham comes from that. So ragam, dvesham, all this is effect of this kartha-bhokta. Is it not? Kartha-bhokta, the result is raga-dvesham. So from the shastram point of view, If any karma has been done without karta, bhokta and raga dvesham, then it is karma yogam, it is then. Do you understand? It's not karma anymore. It is karma yogam. Karma yogam, you see the subtle side of it, right? Normally we say you give the results of your karma to somebody, to Krishna in some way you give back. That is karma bhalatyagam. Bhalatyagam is that, giving the results of that. But if it has created, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer inside, and any ragadvesham inside, then it has not become karma yogam. So therefore, karma yogam is a very complex science it is, right? So you will see there, in that third chapter, when we are talking about karma yogam, the samsaram or material existence is nothing but these four things. Karma, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, ragam and dvesham. These four things together is called material existence. Nothing else. If these four things are created by karma in us, it is material existence then. Samsaram comes from that. So, realized person in him, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, goes away from him. And because he is liberated now, he is completely free from that bondage. Totally free, right? So the science related to that is Vedantam. Vedantam, right? And for that, there are five reasons, he's saying. So this is the verse as an introduction to those five verses, right? panjaidani mahabaho karanani nibhothame sanghe krutande proktani siddhaye sarvadharmanam. It's like that, right? And what are they? These five things. Adhishtanam tatha karta karanam cha pradagvidam vividhascha prithakchesta devam chaivatra panchamam. This is how karmam is, right? He's saying there, adhishtanam tatha karta karanam cha pradagvidam vividhascha prithakchesta devam chaivatra panchamam. Right? First of all, the body, which is doing the karmam, right? I mean, the body is required for engaging in karmam, right? And then the desire that comes in us to do the karmam, right? And also, to talk about it, he says here, the desire, then hate towards something, happiness, distress, the knowledge, all these things, to understand that, you require a body. Body is required, right? And therefore, body is the adhishtanam. Yeah? Now, let's understand that more. Our life itself is a karma. Life itself is a karma, right? Samsaram means karmam only, right? Keep on doing something all the time. That's our nature, isn't it? So, so in life, there is these five things. First one is adhishtanam. Then the second one is karta. Third one is karanam. Fourth one is cheshta. And fifth one is devam. Let's understand one after the other what they mean. Right? These five things together is the samsaram happens. Adhishtanam tada karta karanam cha pradakvidam vividhasya pratak cheshta devam chayvatra panchamam. What is adhishtanam? Adhishtanam, body is adhishtanam. Adhishtanam means the foundation. Therefore, in Vedantam, they also give another name for this body. It is called bhogayatanam. Bhogayatanam means bhogam and yadana, both. Happiness and suffering, both. You will get from this body. It's not bhogam and yadana. Sometimes they call it as yadana deham. For example, when you go to hellish planets, if we get a chance to go there, then we don't have this gross body. That time to suffer, we are given a body there. And that's called yadana deham. It is with yadana deham that you suffer your sinful reactions for everything what we have done. In the fifth canto, you will see this mentioned in the last chapter, hellish planets, I'm talking about it. Yeah? So, Vedantam will say, in Vedantam, they will say, adhishtanam is actually Brahmam, not this body, right? And because in Vedantam, it talks about coming out of this karmam altogether. Normally, on a level in mundane world, we'll say body is the basis of karmam. But in Vedantam, the adhishtanam is Brahmam. Or, in other words, Atma. Atma, right? How to understand that? Yeah. For example, there is a rope lying there. The rope is adhishtanam. The snake is superimposed on that. Arobanam, it is called. On the rope, you are superimposing the snake. And actually, there is only rope. Snake is a superimposed thing on the rope, right? Similarly, this is Vedantam, right? Actually, there is no material existence in the soul. Atma is independent, right? What has happened is that Atma Swarupam, in Atma there is no samsaram or any other impurities in the Atma, right? Like desire or aversion or attachment or happiness or distress. All these things doesn't exist in the Atma. These are all superimposed thing on the Atma. Atma doesn't have any of these things in there, right? So, and this body, which is, Krishna calls it as Kshetram. Body, Krishna calls it as Kshetram in other places, right? Kshetram. And Kshetram, Adhishtanam Karta, Upadhi Lakshano Bhoktam. In other words, all this is happening because of this body. Because of this body, right? Because if you have body only, then there is karma. Otherwise there is no karma, is it not? Because there is body, there is karma. Yeah. So he is saying here, Adhishtanam Icha Dvesha Sukhajnanadhinam Abhivyakti Ashrayam Adhishtanam Shariram Tatha Karta. What he is saying is that because when you have a body, desires are there, then this love and hate, Ragam Dvesha, will be there. Happiness and distress will be there. All these things, where do you experience? In the body, and the gross and subtle body both, right? So, body is the foundation for all these things, right? And who is the doer? One who wants the results, who is working for the results, right? That means, in our body, these five senses of action, and five senses of action, and the five senses of knowledge, they are the ones who are conducting the karma. Five senses of knowledge, they cooperate each other, and the karma gets done. Five senses of knowledge are five senses of action, right? And added to that, supporting them is mind and intelligence, manasa and buddhi. So, five senses of knowledge, five senses of action, supported by mind and the intelligence. Altogether 12, right? And then there is pranan in the body. Pranan, apanan, vyanan, samanan, udanan, they are also part of that. Added to all that thing, the one who is making the decision, what result should come. That is what devam chaivatra panchamam, Krishna is saying. So even though Bhagavad Gita says all these things to us, that you may do karma, whatever you want, devam chaivatra panchamam. This fifth factor, that who decide what the result should be, devam chaivatra panchamam, right? These are the fifth factor. Body, the doer, and then the senses of knowledge and action, and their activities, and above all, the devam chaivatra panchamam, devam, one who decides what the result should be. This is how karma works in the Vedanta. Not the way we think, instant karma, no. Karma doesn't work like that. Karma works like this. He says there that the the doer, then the doer is there, then the karta, which is karta, then five senses of knowledge, five senses of action, then mind and intelligence, altogether 12, all of them, that is karanamcha pradakvidam. Then apart from that, the pranan, apanan and all that, vayu, more than all that, devam. And body, the doer, and the senses, their activities, and finally Deva. These five things controls karma. These five things controls karma. So that's the first message, right? So he's saying this, right? To understand what does that mean, right? When karma happens, we know I'm doing the karma, right? And when the results come, I'm saying I'm getting, enjoying the results of my karma. And that I will interpret it in two ways, sukham, dukham. Mm. When the results come, sukham, good karma, good results come, I consider sukham. Bad results come, dukham. Right? In this way, when you interpret the results like that, you are saying there that I am having this, right? Doing this. And that is called adhishthanam. Adhishthanam means, I am the one who is getting it. I am the one who has done the karma. So all these things are based on this me inside. Me inside, right? So, and in karanam, it is easy to understand. All the senses of knowledge, senses of action, right? Because based on the karma, karanam only, you can do the karma. The karanam has to cooperate. Karanam means senses, right? When all the senses cooperate, you can do the karma. Only then you can do the karma. Otherwise you can't do the karma, right? So, and so it is depending on the karanam, cheshta happens. You see the word Krishna used there, cheshta. So cheshta, vividasya prithak cheshta, he says. So cheshta is based on karana. Cheshta is based on karana, right? So we call it as Krishna calls it a cheshta. That is good. You know why? We, when we do karma, we have done some big things in this world, for example. Krishna says it is cheshta. That's how Krishna looks at it. Do you understand what Krishna is saying? That you may be thinking you have done some big thing in this world. In the world, a lot of things are going on, isn't it? People are doing big, big things. And some ordinary, simple person is doing his life simple things. But these people do done big, big things. They are glorified and they are spoken very high for what they have done and what decisions they have made and all kinds of things going on in this field of karma. They are all doing karma. And all this karma, Krishna calls it, is nothing but cheshta. Cheshta. That means your karanam is doing the cheshta. It is acting. That's all. That's what he is saying here, right? Mm. That means various types of karma you are doing because from inside you, the chodana is there to do it. And that's why you are doing that, right? The word cheshta comes from chalanam. That means your senses started working, the mind started working, and the intelligence started working. When they are all pushing you to do something, the senses start coming in and started doing the things. Whether it is Trump does or somebody else does, it's the same thing. From Krishna's point of view, this is all cheshta. Cheshta, right? And when you have done all these things, there is a fifth factor which they are not aware of. When I do a karma, whether I will get the results or not, if you ask the question, I cannot guarantee the result will come, right? For example, I have written an examination and I won't be able to say how many marks I will get. It depends, isn't it? The result, right? And that is Devam Chaivatra Panchamam. Devam Chaivatra Panchamam. You can see all these big leaders, they make talk big things, but they also know inside how it will turn out, they don't know. They'll go into war thinking that they will win, it ends up something else. Similarly, now this tariff business, what President is doing, he's thinking that he will rule the world with his ideas, right? But the results are coming in different ways, and how it will all end up, nobody knows. He doesn't know, nor anyone else know how the results will come. Devam Chevatra Panchamam. That is why you cannot avoid that factor of Devam in all these things. In all, any karmam, you cannot ignore that factor called Devam. Devam Chevatra Panchamam. Right? So, some people call that as fate, vidhi. Call it as vidhi, right? Or you can say the after effect of your previous karma. Or you can say, some people will say nature. Different ways you call it. But everybody knows this, that the result may not be the same what I am expecting. Something else will come out at the end, right? King Dasharatha wanted to install Ramachandra as the king, right? Dasharatha decided like that, right? Dasharatha got a fear in his mind that within himself he started thinking that if I don't install Ramachandra now in the throne, whatever, something will happen and to him, and therefore it's better to install, because he was frightened that there was Lakshmana, Bharata and Shatrughna. Suppose they create problems, because Dasharatha has messed up some things in his life with Kaikeyi's marriage. So those fear was in his mind. He wanted Ramchandra to be the king, but there was a fear in his mind from Kaikeyi, the kingdom, the king there will make the claim for the throne based on the promise he has given to Kaikeyi. So those things were disturbing him. So we thought when Bharata was not there, he wanted to install Ramchandra as the king. That is how it started, the whole thing. So, so this was a fear in his mind, Dasharatha's mind, that will Bharata, okay, Kaikeyi will put that claim and take the throne away from Rama and give it to Bharata. And if she pushes for that, he had no choice, right? So these forthcoming events was casting their shadow before. The events that happened after that was already casting a shadow on Dasharatha before that, right? And Dasharatha had this fear in his mind, right? So he decided one night, suddenly next day, to do the installation of Ramachandra, right? A big thing, he decided overnight to do it and told Vasishtha, I want Ramchandra to be installed tomorrow as the king. And Vasishtha himself was in a shock when he demanded that. But of course Vasishtha could see the point why he was doing that, right? So, just like people take sannyasam like that, don't they? In the same way. Sometimes people take sannyasam like this. They go and take sannyasam. Suddenly they get a mood. Let me take sannyasam tomorrow. And somehow or the other they get approval from all the sources and take sannyasam. After taking sannyasam, after a few years, they started thinking, is this really what I wanted? Because by then the mind is giving trouble from inside. You have given away one whole life. Sannyasam means that, isn't it? You have nothing in this world left then. What have you got in this world for a sannyasi to do? There's nothing much to do. And you haven't developed that detachment to this world to that extent. But before that, one day you made a decision and gone and done it. In the similar way, Dasharatha made this decision, which is not much different. In the So that's what he's saying here, that sannyasam is taken in this way. People take sannyasam. It's not that you have thought about everything about life and you have understood the life properly. All these young sannyasis I'm talking about, they have not taken sannyasam because they have not even seen the life, what it is. They have not seen the householder life, many of them. And the spiritual knowledge and realization hasn't reached such a high level that they can take sannyasam in that way. They just took it out of impulses inside. They just took it. And some others encouraged them. Godbrothers or other sannyasis told them, we get one more into our camp. And pulled them in into that, right? So it was like that. And Ramachandra's situation was like that. This has happened in that way, right? immediately, they informed everybody in Ayodhya that they should be present for tomorrow for the, crowning ceremony, for the ceremony, right? Yeah. And it was not even informed to Janaka or to Kedem, either ways, neither of these places, right? Because Dasharatha was fearful. Will he create problems, Janaka from Mithila, if he comes? He will raise objections saying that why this should happen, because Dasharatha has made these promises to Kaikeyi. And so many things, it's confusion it was, right? And similarly, Kaikeyi's father in Kegem, he was not involved because of the fear whether they will cause any problems, right? And Kegem is quite far from Ayodhya for that reason, right? And Bharata was there, and if Bharata comes back, will it become a problem? So you can imagine in Dasharatha's mind what was going through. So he wanted to do everything before Bharata comes back. And there are a few other reasons as well, but that is, Ramayana talks about that. And he did not inform Janaka either. He didn't inform Janaka either, right? So without informing any of them, kings means big connections, isn't it? Royal connections with royal families. Without informing any of them, he wanted to do this installation ceremony for Ramachandra, right? Vasishtha came, and Vasishtha organized everything because the king wanted that way. And everyone was informed in the palace that Ramachandra is going to be installed. Kaikeyi came to know about it. And when this is in Ramayana talked in detail, Dasharatha going to visit Kaikeyi to tell her that what he has decided. And at that moment, Kaikeyi was very happy about it. That's the interesting thing. It is later on Mandara comes in, pokes the whole thing up, whips it up. That's where problem started, right? So initially, Kaikeyi didn't say anything. Kaikeyi was happy because Kaikeyi loved Ramachandra as much as Kausalya loved him. Everybody loved Ramachandra. And she wanted Ramachandra to be the king. So Dasharatha went and spoke to Kaikeyi, and Kaikeyi, he managed to make Kaikeyi agree with that. He was happy about that. And then he thought that he has come over all the problems, obstructions. And he thought that with Kaikeyi's approval, if I do this, nobody will question me from Mithila or from Kegem. This was in his mind. So, and he told Vasishtha that I have spoken to Kaikeyi. Kaikeyi is okay with that. And then he made the announcement to Ayodhya, everybody to know that next day is Ramachandra's installations, right? So, all others, Dasharatha sent people to let others know about this ceremony. But Kaikeyi, he personally went to the because she has her own palace, Kaikeyi, to talk to Kaikeyi about this, right? So he got there at the night to talk to Kaikeyi, because this is all happening at night, right? So Kaikeyi was happy to hear that, right? Then Mandara comes after that. Mandara is presented as a bad character. Sometimes people misunderstand her also. But if you understand Ramayana, Mandara is not that bad actually. What she did was that when Valmiki, when Mandara came and told Kaikeyi about this installation ceremony, Ramchandra's installation ceremony, right? Kaikeyi, what she did, she had a very, in happiness, she had a very expensive garland with the jewels and all that. She gave that as a gift to show her happiness to Mandara, gave it to her, right? And she said to Mandara, there is no other news which gives me more happiness than this, for Ramchandra becoming the king. That's how Kaikeyi responded first to Mandara, right? So, that means, actually Kaikeyi had good devotion to Ramchandra. And Mandara succeeded in changing that mind, Kaikeyi's mind, right? Ramayana Valmiki says that in a very short period of time, how clean water you can make it muddy, in the same way she did that, right? So, anyway, Dasharatha organized everything, and Vasishtha and other rishis who were present there, they knew that it was not to be done in that way, but then they accepted it that way, right? In one night, everything changed in Ayodhya. Situation completely changed, right? And no one thought, because it was all done in a proper way, but at the same time, nobody thought that a problem will come in the middle of all this, right? And unexpectedly, without anyone's knowledge, Kaikeyi changed her mind. Because after Mandara got involved in that, right? So, so this Mandara, about Mandara, Valmiki is saying there that where she will come from, nobody knows in life, this thing called a Mandara, right? this is how that big change happened in Ayodhya. Valmiki talks about that in Ramayanam in detail, right? when the palace they had, what Kaikeyi was living, was a high building, high-story building, right? And Mandara is a little older lady. She walked all the way there to see Kaikeyi and to talk about this, right? Without any reason why she felt so necessary to go and tell her this. It is a bit strange, isn't it, that in her position, what made her to think like that? That she has to go, she has to see Kaikeyi, and she has to talk about this, what is being done is not right. She felt very strongly about it, right? And so he goes upstairs and inquires about Kaikeyi. So, and then this news of installation of Ramchandra is known, and Valmiki says she ran so fast all the way to see Kaikeyi to discuss this, and so it's the most urgent thing in her life of who should be the king, right? But and she got there and changed Kaikeyi's mind, right? she told the anartham has become as artham, and then she reminded Kaikeyi. She remembered everything. What Dasharatha has promised to Kaikeyi. Kaikeyi herself has forgotten about it. Mandara reminds her that, look, he has promised you like this. And then Kaikeyi started remembering. Otherwise, Kaikeyi was not interested in that. Right? So, Valmiki is saying there that Mandara was very close to Kaikeyi, so she always listened to her, what she said, right? Now, you may see this in one level, that why did this happen? What made Kaikeyi Mandara to go and see Kaikeyi like this? When she knew that, when she started talking to Kaikeyi, Kaikeyi has given the word to Dasharatha that Ramchandra should be the king. It was all like this. What made her to feel the necessity to go and tell Kaikeyi and to force her to withdraw from that commitment, right? The answer to that is, Ravana has to be killed. So, when you understand, in order that Ravana to be killed, Ramchandra has to go to the forest, right? And they have, the demigods, devas, they have deliberately pushed Mandara to go and speak to Kaikeyi. They have changed Mandara's mind in such a way and forced her to go and speak. Now, from this incident, we have to understand this last line, Devam Chaivatra Panchamam. In life also, we may do so many things, but ultimately it is controlled by higher power, Devam. Devam means these demigods, who they wanted to kill Ravana. Ravana should be killed because Ravana was becoming a problem for them as well, for the demigods. Because he was so powerful and he had a lot of good qualities as well, this Ravana, you know. So Ravana was becoming a threat for them and they decided that we have to get rid of him. And that is why they went and prayed and Ramachandra came and all that. So Ramachandra to go to forest, this has to happen. And it has to happen in this way. They knew that Ramachandra will refuse this. Ramachandra has to go to forest. But in order to, this urgent need to install Ramachandra as the king, and for that, the obstruction to come from Kaikeyi, this whole master plan behind that was happening under demigod supervision. They were influencing him, right? So, therefore, Ramayanam talks all these things to understand how things work. And that is what here this Devam Chaivatra Panchamam means. All big endeavors or small endeavors in this world, it's not our endeavor that make the result. This Devam Chaivatra Panchamam decides the result, what it should be, right? So, another name for Ramayanam is this Mandara. Because Mandara is a very key figure in this whole thing, right? And how did all these things happen? Mandara, then Kaikeyi, and then Ramachandra going to the forest, all these things. So these are all being pushed from a higher level, right? So that is why Lakshmana gets upset when Ramchandra, because Dasharatha put the condition, Ramchandra has to go to forest 14 years later, isn't it? So Lakshmana gets very upset about it. And Lakshmana says to him that, why do you get, Ramchandra says to Lakshmana, why do you get upset? Why do you get upset, he said to him, because this is Devam. There he uses the word Devam. Ramchandra uses the word Devam. So this Devam is a difficult thing to understand in life. Devam is a difficult thing to understand in life. Yeah. So karmam when we do, unexpectedly something happens in the karmam. And some unexpected results come from the karmam. Right? we get embarrassed, isn't it? Why did this happen like that, right? And then we will blame somebody else. It always happens. All this world war happened in that way. World war began like this. And then they were all blaming each other. British blamed the Germans, Germans blamed the British. Then they blamed the Italians, Italians blamed the Americans, Americans blamed the Japanese, Japanese blamed the British. Like this, they were all blaming each other. Devam Chaivatra Panjamam. That's the answer for that. None of them had any control on it. It all happened the way Krishna wanted it to happen. And that is how you understand Devam. In order to, unexpectedly, the result of your karmam comes in a totally unexpected way and embarrasses you. You get embarrassed, right? And ultimately, when everything is over, and then when you look at it, you will realize that, how did this happen, right? You will get to know some things about it. That this was not a decision by any one of us. It was a decision from a higher plane. This has happened. So, ordinary people who are studying Shastram should look at the world in this way. That not by our calculation. We will blame, for example, we will blame Trump or Starmer or Modi or Putin or somebody else for this. They are just pawns in his hands, in Krishna's hands. And Krishna has a plan, and accordingly things are happening. And they are all pushing things from this way and that way, whether it is Xi Jinping or somebody else, it doesn't matter. They are all just pawns in Krishna's hands, right? But because we are living in this world, we get affected by, that. But the thing is, this Devam Chaivatra Panchamam is an important factor in the karma, right? And Bharadwaja Maharshi also says this to Bharata. Because when this happened, Bharata comes. And Bharata came to know that because of Kaikeyi, that Bharata was being put on the throne. The news become like that, isn't it? Ramchandra had to go to forest, and Bharata has to become the king. When Bharata heard that, he wasn't happy about that. Because he had such a devotion towards Ramchandra. And he started abusing Kaikeyi, his own mother. He started abusing her, right? So Bharadwaja Maharshi says to him, don't abuse Kaikeyi for this, right? Don't curse anyone, not even Ramachandra for this, right? And it is a good scene in Ramayanam when Bharata goes to see Ramachandra into the forest, when they meet up with Bharadwaja. In Bharadwaja's ashram, they gave him a big feast, and all the people have come with Bharata from Ayodhya to see Ramachandra, to ask him to come back, right? So Bharadwaja Maharshi gives them a big feast in the ashram there. They were all surprised that the Rishi could offer such a big feast, right? And that they had a good feast. And then in the discussions, Bharadwaja Maharshi says to Bharata started complaining about Kaikeyi, and he was complaining about Dasharatha also for what they have done, that Ramchandra had to go to forest. He should be here. Devam Chaivatra Panjamam. Even Bharata also. So Bharadwaja Maharshi talks about that to Bharata at that point, right? So, then on the Godavari River, where they were staying there, then in the Godavari River bank, right? And Lakshmana was going, then Sitadevi was going behind him, then Ramchandra was following her behind, right? And it was quite cold weather, and they didn't have such good clothes. They were wearing all the clothes, Jadadhari and also Maravuri and Valkalam and all that, right? So, there it says that at that place, Valmiki talks about him as Ramchandra as like Lord Shiva going with his associates, Nandigeshwara, he says, about Ramchandra. Valmiki says like that, right? Like Lord Shiva with Sri Parvati and Nandigeshwara. Comparison I'm saying. Ramachandra, Sitadevi and Lakshmana is like Lord Shiva, Sri Parvati and Nandigeshwara going together in that cold weather while they were walking. Valmiki compares it like that with them, right? So, and then there Lakshmana is saying to them that if it is so cold like here in Godavari, by the time they have come a little bit more south, isn't it? So they are saying, Lakshmana is saying to Ramchandra, if it is so cold here like this, it must be much colder in Ayodhya then, isn't it? Lakshmana is asking Ramchandra at that time, right? And it must be very hard for Bharata, because Bharata said that I am not going to take this position till Ramachandra comes back. So, and Lakshmana spoke in such a way, in a nice way, about Bharata. And Ramachandra liked that when he spoke in that way, right? But then he said, all this has happened because of that Kaikeyi, he said. Oh, Lakshmana said. But Ramachandra didn't like it when he said that, right? So he says, why do you bring her unnecessarily, drag her into this, right? You should not blame her, he said. Bharata is entitled for the kingdom. He should be the king, said Ramachandra at that time, right? Talk about Bharata, I will listen to that, he said. In this way, Ramachandra changed Lakshmana's mood from cursing Kaikeyi to glorify Bharata. In that way, Ramachandra took a different approach at that time, right? Because Ramachandra knows why all these things are happening. Therefore, he was able to make that decision, right? So he says to Lakshmana, don't talk such things about Kaikeyi, right? And why Ramachandra had nothing against Kaikeyi for what she has done, right? In Ramachandra's eyes, he wanted to get to forest as quickly as possible because he wanted to meet the rishis. He wanted to meet the rishis and he wanted to spend time with them. That was in his mind, right? And for him, kingdom was not the big thing. Life in forest was more valuable for him, right? And in Ramayana, if you read, there was no other happier times in Ramchandra's life than when he was in the forest. That was the best time he had in his life. If you look at Ramchandra's life, his happiest days were when he was in the forest, spending his time with the rishis, right? So, Ramachandra says there that his life in the forest is Devam, he says there. This vanavasam, or spending time in the forest, is Devam, he says. You can call Devam by various names, destiny, fate, vidhi, all kinds of names people use for that. But we have to understand that karmam on its own, adhishtanam tatha karta, karananja pratakviram, vividascha pratakchesta, but Devam chaivatra panchamam. Devam is the decision maker in karma. It's not easy to accept that, is it? That concept, right? That Devam chaivatra panchamam, it's not easy to accept that. Most of the people, we are used to doing and getting results. If the results are good, you will say performance is good. Everything is performance related, performance based. In business industry and all, it's like that, isn't it? Performance related, performance based, everything. Devam jayvatra panchamam. This company who is doing all this performance evaluation, one day whole company goes bust. So what? Where was the performance then? Sometimes that happens, is it not? Company itself goes out of the business. Company itself goes out of business. So where was the performance related thing? So many things happen like that. And so that's an important thing to understand, right? So thing is that karmam. Say your body is in a good shape, you've done the karmam well, right? The senses have all cooperated and you have done the best possible way. But when the results come, there's something comes and stands in the middle, not get allowing you to have the result, right? So an unexpected force that comes, right? And it acts on the result. It acts on the result. And that is called Devam. That's called Devam or Vidhi. And that is not in our hands, right? Why does it happen? Why does that come like that? It can be any reasons for that. Many reasons for that. It could be Purva Karma Phalam, right? In Ramayana, everything happened, right? But nobody expected that Mandara will do this. And that is why Rama said at that time, akasmat pravartahe, kasmat, Akasmat means from where it has come, we don't know. From where it has come, we don't know, right? But he changed the whole thing upside down, everything, right? But he came to the forest and then he was happy in the forest. Ramchandra is happy, right? Then he came to Godavari River and 14 years or so he had to spend in the forest, right? He enjoyed it like a picnic, this 14 years. And it was, for him, it was more like a pilgrimage, getting to see all these great rishis in the forest and talking to them, right? So, and Ramchandra stayed in the forest and he could have stayed in Ayodhya and got installed as the king and lived there in the palace. It is at that time that this would have happened normally, but in the forest what happened, this foreigner comes, immigrant, Shurpanaga, comes in the middle of all that. When she comes, with that, Lanka got destroyed, the after effect of that, right? Not only she came, that everyone was giving her trouble, who Shurpanaka, right? So, because of her activity, Lanka got destroyed, and this is called Vidhi. So, Devam works like this. Devam has a chain of actions happening behind the scene, planned, and it will work in that way, on which you have no control, we have no control over that, right? So, one or two people like Mandara and Shurpanaga and all has become the cause behind it. That's all it is. They just became the cause behind it, right? And they have not come that they were invited by anybody. They just came at that spot. On that spot they came and they got involved and they changed the whole event externally. But the planning is behind that, right? So, and that is what Krishna is saying, that Panjaidani Mahabaho Karanani Nibodhame Sanghi Kritande Proksani Siddhaya Savaramanam. And then he said this, that the Adhishtanam Tatha Karta Karananja Pratakvidam Vivithasya Pratakchesta Devam Chaivatra Panchamam. These two verses, they go together, right? So we will continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.